the song we got the privilege to look at the video of, Jesus, Jesus, How I Trust Him, is definitely a song that I don't enjoy singing when I don't feel I can go ahead with it with full gusto, except for one line, "Oh, for grace to trust Him more." And I feel I can safely say that the passage we're looking at today is one that I will, for myself, as Mandy gave me a few passages to look at and to think about, was the one that I wanted to speak on the least, because it's the one that convicts me the most. And I look at it and I go, oh heck, that's not something that I feel confident to speak about, but Lord, for grace to trust you more. And I think through all of it, there's a verse in the Bible that says, I speak, I believe, therefore I speak. And it's definitely one that I don't think anyone here can stand up and say, I've done this really well, actually. And here I am to tell you about how to do it. It's not that. But it's definitely a case of, I believe that the Word of God is true, and therefore we can speak on it, and we can ask the Lord to help us to walk it out. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll dive straight in. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for an opportunity to search our own hearts for a moment and to consider what it is that you want from us and how it is that we can lay our lives before you. So as we look at this, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, and to take advantage of the myriad of blessings that you've poured out on us to enable us to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Mandy's been taking us through this series of Spiritual Vision 2020, which is a great play on 2020 vision, clear sight, and the year that we've just gone into, the year of 2020. And just a very, very brief recap. First of all, to lay a really great foundation, she spoke on Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, of the Lord, the Aaronic blessing of the Lord bless you and keep you, and cause his face to shine upon you, and may he give you peace. And I believe this is the overwhelming heart of the King that we serve, the God that we serve. His desire is to bless us. And so then moving on from that, knowing that we serve this God who wants to bless us, she then went on to speak on having the eyes of our understanding enlightened that we may know him. But not just know him, but know the hope that we have, the riches of our inheritance in him, and the power that we have through his Holy Spirit. And as Mandy mentioned last week, the dynamic power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that he says, and this is where we get to trust him and trust him at his word, he says now dwells in us. And I don't see it all the time in my own life. I don't see it all the time in everyone else's life. But I have to trust that he is doing that work, sometimes unseen. Luke 9:23, just to give you a bit of context, Jesus has sent out the 12 disciples already. He sent out these men who have gone into towns and they've seen amazing things. They've seen healing. They've seen people delivered from spiritual powers. They've seen people coming to repentance. They've seen the feeding of the 5,000 right before this verse. So they've seen incredible things. And I'm sure a lot of people were like, I'll follow, I'll come after you. Wherever you go, I'll go. Let's do this. And I would too. It's exciting. You see power, you see healing, you see, you know, miracles. And the Lord's like, hold on a second. Before you commit, let's take time to look at this. So with this 2020 vision, we want to have a clear understanding of, okay, Lord, you want to bless us and your desire is to bless us. What is it that you want us to do? What is it? How is it you want us to operate? How is it that you want us to proceed through this year? There would have been great excitement. There would have been great miracles, great wonders, and a lot of joy. But what was the cost for the individual? Were some rushing in with false expectations, thinking that it was going to be this hype, if you will, all the time, this excitement? And I think you and I can both say that our Christian life, if any of you have been walking with the Lord for a little bit, would say, well, no, it isn't that. There are moments where we see God moving powerfully. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. It's not a membership fee, this cost. It's not a subscription, but it's an investment of ourselves. And for some, it's our families. Some of us have had to say, I'm following Jesus. And these families of ours have sometimes, on some occasions, said, well, that's the choice you're going to make. See you later. For some, it's been our work. There are circumstances that we know of where people have lost their jobs because of standing up for what they believe in. And many times the world over, that cost has been people's lives. We see persecution the world over, where they've said, I'm going to follow Jesus, actually. And it's cost them a great deal. Now, these are, I wouldn't say extreme examples, but they're the ones that we don't see day to day often. But they are real. But they're not unheard of. We see the examples in the early church of the same thing. We see examples of the early disciples being slain for what they believed in. We see Jesus himself going to the cross. And that's what I love, is this example that he lays. So two things I think we want to balance up and we need to take a look at. One is our expectations, because it's easy for us to come into Christian faith and go, here's my expectation, here's my desire, and then you have on the other side, we have our calling and our service before the Lord. And often, and I have to speak for myself here, I can't speak for everyone in the room, my expectation and my desire is what comes first, unfortunately. And I have to readjust it. I have to take it into account and say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want from me? What is your calling for me to serve you? And I have to be real with him, and I have to come before him and say, Lord, what's this cost? What's this calling that you're calling me out to? And I have to balance the two, because he doesn't say to us, no expectation or desire. You're out of the equation. Here you go, do this. But he does say, come to me. Follow me. And he asks us to make a response to his call. And I love this one, though. This is, I think, is where I get to do that adjustment. And I get to, first of all, it's not the expectation or the calling of the church. It's not the expectation or calling of people around us. And it's not the expectation or calling of family and friends. First and foremost, and not that those aren't important, but it has to be. And it has to start with our relationship with Jesus. It has to, because he is our King. He is our Lord. He is our God. And we come to him and say, okay, Lord, how can I honor you? How can I serve you? The other things follow, because the church gives us an opportunity to then live that out. And we'll go into a little bit more depth in a second. The expectations of those around us enable us to say, well, actually, how can I serve you? How can I bless you? Our families, the same thing. How can I lay down my life so that you can benefit? But first of all, it has to be in relationship with our Savior, with our Messiah. So what is his desire for us? Bit of an extreme example there. What is Jesus' expectation for us? What is his desire? And this is where I feel that song that we looked at is really important. How I've learned to trust your name. Trust your word. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Because he's saying in this verse, and I'll read it again briefly. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He is not a World War I general sitting back at HQ. He is not one who has said and sent thousands and thousands over that trench into battle. He is one that has gone before us. So he's not saying, oh, deny yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Off you go. Chop, chop. Get to it. He's saying, and we see this in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. And that's a really hard thing for us to say. But he said, I've done it. And I've gone before you, and I've cleared the traps and the mines and the snares, and I've done it. And this is what I love. I look at verses like this of where he says, deny yourself, and I think, why has he asked this? Why has he put this burden on me? It seems like legalism, it seems like works, and it isn't to torment us. It isn't to put an extra burden on us. It isn't to make us feel weighed down and heavy and, oh my gosh, is this really the calling of Jesus in the cross? It's because he is our loving Father and he desires to train us and raise us so that we can walk in the peace of righteousness, it says in Hebrews chapter 12. This is one where I jump ahead of my notes and I lose which slide I'm on. So there's three phrases I want to look at briefly. The first one is deny himself. My brain goes, no, thank you. I love to serve me, first and foremost. If I'm honest, on my worst of times, I'm looking out for number one. Second is, take up your cross. That sounds like death to me, because I look at the cross and I see blood, I see nails, I see suffering, I see torment. And the third being daily, follow me. And that sounds like effort. You're telling me daily I am to consider my king. Daily I am to deny myself. Surely in this day and age I'm supposed to love myself and serve myself. And later on in that passage, briefly looking at this, he says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. We serve in an upside down kingdom. The Lord says, if you serve others, if you serve me, actually, this is a blessing. You know, we've heard the phrase, it is better to give than to receive, and I think that's definitely in this case. So, not a Tim-centered life. Not a, okay, how can I get mine? How can I do my thing? How can I get what I think I deserve? And again, repeating what Jesus said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And it's simply this, Lord, what do you want for my life today? And it might not be this grand gesture. It might be something small. It might simply just a heart of submission of you saying, Lord, I'm yours today. The second being, take up your cross. That's a big one. Because to them, in the original context of this passage, to the disciples, that was a Roman torture implement. That meant death. That meant death of criminals. So it clearly spoke to them of something quite strong. It meant sacrifice in Jesus' terms, because just before this, he predicted his own death. He said, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die. But again, this is where we see Jesus has said, I've already gone ahead of you and I've already done this and I've already been your forerunner. I've already laid the way clear. Just follow me. And we get to lay down our lives and we get to imitate Christ. We get to say, okay, Lord, you died for me. How can I do that for you and those around me? Again, this is a subject that you could preach on for a while. Each one of these points is something that you could go on to and speak on for a while. And daily. And I think this is what stops the disciples from thinking, does he really mean go to the cross? Does he really mean for me to be nailed up right now and follow him and go that way? Because he means, says daily, we get the idea that he's speaking spiritually. He's speaking in a figurative sense. And it means sitting down with our Bible. It means sitting down in prayer. It means sitting down in fellowship with our fellow believers every now and then. When we get the chance to, and saying, okay, Lord, what do you want for my life? How can I follow you? How can I serve you? And that's why our daily devotional times are really important. And I know it's where I fall down the most, actually. I know I would probably be a much better husband and father and a much better Christian, if you will, if I was just to simply take time each day, crack open the Word, sit at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, what do you want from me? How can I follow you today? And I think that daily is the imperative, because you can start small with daily. It doesn't have to, again, like I said, this grand gesture. It can be something of, right, Lord, I'm here. And this is where it starts. And then let's make a habit of this going before our Savior and our King. And following him. Sorry, forgive me. I've never used slides before in a sermon. So I'm kind of like, oh yeah, there's the next one. After seeing these miracles, later on in verse 57, this man comes running along and he says, I will follow you wherever you go. Very enthusiastic. And we all have moments of that. I know I have in my life. I'll do this for you. I'll do this. I'll do this. And the Lord then says to him, hold on, slow down a second. Let's, again, get a right sense of what it is that we're doing here. Because the first thing I enjoy is this. I love comfort. This is the way that I serve myself. Especially in what you would say is the millennial generation, we don't really grasp the idea of working hard. And as some of the older generation, you're very familiar with it. And it's something that you might look at us and think, you really don't know the first of it. And in truth, we've had it easy. We've had a soft life. And I'll be the first one to confess and admit that I love. This is not my daughter, but thankfully. But I love comfort. I love serving myself. I like when I can put my feet, and there's nothing wrong with it, but when that's the first port of call, and the Lord says, hold on a second, foxes have holes, birds have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What he's saying here is, don't get it twisted, this is not a comfortable life if you're going to be a disciple. And his number one concern is not our cushy comfort and our leisure time. He's saying, there are times where you, as a missionary, sure, you can read a lot of testimonies where they went through a lot to bless people with the gospel. And Jesus certainly had a tough road. Then he said to another, he then makes a call out and says, follow me, to another gentleman. And this one said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And he said, well, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, come and proclaim the gospel. That, to me, I read it and I think, that's a bit harsh. That's a bit strong. He only wants to go and bury his father. Come on, why would you? A lot of things that Jesus says in the gospel come across pretty intense. Even the way that he speaks to his own mother. Woman, what have I to do with you? Kind of thing. And I read it and I go, oh, hold on. But an example with this one is not within the context of the culture was, when my dad dies, I'll get the inheritance. So I'm going to go off and wait now. And when my father is passed away, we'll do the funeral and stuff. And then I'll be in a more financially comfortable position to then give my life to the gospel. And that's an easy one for us to do. That's an easy one for us to walk in of like, well, when work's settled down and when my daughter's, she's got childcare and when maybe I've got a bit more finances in the bank, I can give a bit more. Or my time, yeah, it's a bit precious right now. I need to hold on to that. And again, he's saying that will take care of itself in time. And again, this is where we have to trust him. Because I read that and I think, will it though, Lord? Will it really? And he's saying, yes, trust me. Come and serve. Come and lay down your life. And I don't trust him. Because I want to hold on to those things really tightly and say, no, 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 I'm in control here. And he's saying, no, let go of control. Come and serve me. The third one being, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And again, here's another, what sounds like a harsh statement. and I don't like it when I first read it, he says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom." Plowing in fields is a really tough job. Especially back then when it was done manually. It wasn't done with a tractor pulling a plow. It was, if you weren't doing it by hand with a hand plow on a small plot of land, you were doing it with oxen, with a team, and it was arduous. And you had to look ahead and you had to focus on what you were doing because it was easy to veer off. And if you veered off, your furrow would not be straight, the seeds would be planted wonky, then when it came time for harvest, the job was made 10 times harder for collecting the grain, or whatever it is that you were harvesting. The fear here is that by going back to the family, and I don't believe in this instance it was a short trip, you would then go, "Oh, yeah, later, Jesus, I'll come, I'll be there, just give me a..." And you settle and you get distracted from the work that he was asking you to do in the first place. And going back to say goodbye wasn't a negative thing. But I'm very much of the case of where, "Oh, shiny." And he's asked us to be focused, and he's asked us to be, as the plowman, to be dedicated and fixed on the task at hand, which is, "Right, Lord, what have you asked me to do? Okay, now let me do it. Let me go ahead and do that." And as a plowman who was plowing a wonky furrow, wouldn't be fit for the work as a plowman. So he's saying to us, "Well, actually, if that's the way that you want to walk, right, we need to address that. Because you're not a fit plowman in that sense." And I don't think it means dismissing us out of hand and saying, "All right, bye, you're out of heaven now." But I definitely think it means for us to go, "Okay, Lord, what do you really want from me?" So, in application, for what we've looked at, what is it that is hindering us from, first of all, and I think this is the most important, trusting him, from seeing what he has for us? Is it comfort? Is it work? Is it family? And I hate to say this because we don't like this word, is it sin? Are there things in our lives that we're walking in disobedience with that we haven't surrendered? "Oh, no, don't talk about that. That makes me..." No, we don't talk about sin. No, we sin. I sin. Probably daily. But this is where grace comes in, and I get to come back and say, "Lord, this is hindering my walk with you." It says in Hebrews 12, "Run your race with endurance, the race that is set before you. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles." And sometimes there's things in our lives that are sin, where I'm being walked, and I know it is, issues that I'm struggling with, and sometimes it's weight, things that are holding me back. And he's saying, "Lay those aside and run. Take up your cross and follow me." So we have the Great Commission. And we've been told there's a cost. But we have a mighty Savior who's gone before us and who's prepared the way. And the blessing is we also have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to run and to run and to run, because he's our power. But we have to go to the cross. We have to go to the Lord in prayer. I can't tell you what those things are in your life. I can't say, "Oh, you need to do this and do this and stop this and stop this." This is where you have to personally seek God and personally sit before him and say, "Okay, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? What are you saying to me in this instance? And how can I follow you?" And be honest. "Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm struggling here. Lord, I'm finding this really difficult. Lord, I'm getting up in the morning and reading a word and falling asleep because I'm just not used to that." And I think he's loving and kind enough to say, "I'll help you. Come on, let's do this together." And when he says, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and my burden is light," the yoke was actually generally a two-man or a two-oxen yoke. So you would have a strong ox and you'd have the weaker ox and you plow together. And the weaker would then rely on the strength of the stronger. We get to plow and to serve and to walk with in this team with no other than Jesus standing right next to us and plowing together. So we can trust him because he's our good, good father and we're in good hands. And he said that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So with this spiritual vision in closing, we get to see what it is that he's required of us, and we get to see who it is that's walking with us as we deny ourselves, as we lay down our lives and say, Father, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. So let's pray. We'll close up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this opportunity for us to stop for a minute and consider what it is that you're asking of us. Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would lay these things on our hearts, Lord, so that we could, not just in our own efforts, steam ahead, but that we could consider you and that we could accurately and powerfully take up our cross and follow you. Thank you that you've gone before us, Lord. Thank you that you haven't left us alone to do this on our own. Lord, we ask for your power and your strength in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's worship God together as we close. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, and I will worship.